We need to understand who we are in Christ. And today, my message is identity in Christ. So if you'll take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. You know, when I start calling names, I'll forget somebody. It's good to see Joseph here today too. Amen. I praise the Lord for all of you being here in God's house here in the last Sunday of June. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Let's all stand. These are two jam-packed verses, I'm telling you. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past you were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now hath obtained mercy. Someone said, I hope I get what I deserve. No, you don't. You want mercy. Amen. You don't want what you deserve. Amen. Let's cry out for God's mercy. And by the way, I'm going to start doing something new today. I like doing new things. I'm going to ask you all to pray out loud, okay?
All right, let's do it.
I thought I'd get some funny looks. Here's the prayer. You don't have to close your eyes. Gordy, our God lives.
Amen.
So with eyes open, we're going to pray this prayer together, okay? Everybody pray together. Heavenly Father, open my eyes so I can see your truth. Open my ears so I can hear your voice. Open my mind so I can understand your word. And open my heart so I may receive all that you make me receive. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, may be seated. We did that well. You did it better than I did. All right. Who or what identifies you? Oh, we say Christ. Right answer. But the truth is, oftentimes, we will let others define us. You know, how many students we have here this morning that went to camp? Did y'all have a great time?
Amen.
I heard one amen. Will, thank you for that amen. All right, I'm going to ask you, I'm giving, you know, God is a God of mercy, and he will. Yeah, that's right, okay. How many went to camp? Anybody have a good time?
Yeah.
Yeah? Got some over here. I'm glad. I heard y'all had an awesome time. I appreciate the one amen. But anyway, here's the thing I want you to understand. You're not to allow the world to define you. Amen? And yet the world works on you every day. Are y'all listening? To try to mold you, shape you into their image. And we oftentimes want people to define us. We do. But our identity should always be in Christ. And no one else. I read about a visit that one of our presidents made to a nursing home. This president entered the facility with his entourage and was received with delight by the elderly residents there. And he went from person to person. In the living area, he noticed a woman in a wheelchair that just seemed to be sort of distraught. She was not interested. And months of campaigning for election had taught him to work the room, so to speak, and he did not want to offend someone who might be a voter, someone that would vote for him in the next election. So he approached her, and he smiled, and he patted her on the shoulder, and he gently squeezed her hand firm. She smiled back and just looked at him sort of strangely. And the president said to the elderly lady, "Do you know who I am?" And she said, "No, but if you'll go to the desk, the nice nurses will tell you who you are." Dementia. But anyway, here's the deal. We got to know who we are, folks. Because until we know who we are, here's the reason. I'm not left this subject because I don't see Christians walking in confidence. In fact, I see Christians being beat up by the world. And we even beat our own selves up. Hello? And we beat ourselves up even in the church because we don't know who and what we are in Christ. All right, first of all, we got to dive into this. Number one, we are to be the unashamed. Are y'all listening to me? We are a chosen generation, he says in verse 9. We are not shamed. We are the unashamed. We are the chosen generation, and I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. How about you? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Will you identify with Jesus Christ or will you be ashamed? It's going to be one way or the other. You're either going to be thankful that you are chosen of God or you're going to be ashamed. Jesus said it in Luke 9:26, "For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed of when he comes into his glory and into his Father's and of the holy angels." Right here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6 says, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded or not be ashamed." We are securing Christ. We are the chosen. We are chosen in Christ. What he chooses, he never unchooses. Hello? You say, "Preacher, you believe in that eternal security, don't you? Because you're a Baptist." No, I believe in it because it's the Bible. It's not because I'm a Baptist. It is very clear. I am secure in Christ. Our God is a covenant-keeping God. We are not the condemned. We are the chosen of God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, he says this, There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. John 15:16, "Ye have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye ask of the Father in my name," he says, "that will I do." Your security is in Christ alone. He is our all-sufficient Savior. He is all the security you need. All the Savior you ever need. Think about who you are in Christ. Your security is in Christ. I love the scripture in John where Jesus said, "What the Father had given to me, no man can pluck from his hand." Let me tell you something, friend. You are safe and secure all the way to heaven in Jesus and in Christ alone. I want to make that clear. It's in him. It's not based on who you are. It's based on whose you are. Hey, do you belong to Jesus? Hey, I'm not ashamed. I'm secure. I'm unashamed because of my security in Christ. And then I'm unashamed because of my sanctification in Christ. I'm sanctified in Christ. He says in verse 9, "Of him who hath called you out." I'm going to call you out this morning. God has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, he says in verse 9. It's not enough that he called us out, but what he has called us into. He has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And what a light. Hello? What a light we have in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." Listen to this verse. Matthew 5:15. "Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but under a candlestick, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." God is calling you out as a child of the King to be a light in this dark world. We should live and act like children of light. We should never be ashamed as the ones who've been called out of this dark world into his marvelous light. We are to be separate. We are sanctified. That means we are to be separate from this world. We can't help but live in this world, but we don't have to be of the world. And then third of all, we're saved. That's why you should be unashamed, because you're saved. You woke up this morning going to heaven, and you're never going to spend an eternity in hell. Look what he says in verse 10. "Better now." I like those divine conjunctions in the Bible. "Better now." He says, "which in time past you were not a people, but are now." Romans 6:23. "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Acts 13:29. Here's what Paul was saying about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He was saying, "Hey, I was the one dead in my sin, but Jesus died for me." And what did he do? He says they took him, Jesus, down from the tree and laid him in a tomb, but God raised him from the dead. 1 Peter 2:10, right back here, "which in time past you were not a people, but you are now the people of God." Look on down there. He says, "and you had not obtained mercy, but now," he says, "you've obtained mercy." But you are now, listen to me carefully, but you are now in Christ. Hey, you are now saved. You once were lost, but now I'm found. Hey, once you were on your way to a devil's hell, but now you're on your way to God's heaven. Hello, we ought to live like it. We ought not to be ashamed. You know why people are ashamed? Because there's sin in their life.
That's right.
That's right. You know why people are reluctant in praising God? Because there's something holding them back. How can you not praise Him? How can you not thank Him? Students, how can you be ashamed of the one who saved you? All of you should have stood up a while ago and said, I'm not ashamed.
Amen.
Amen. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus. I'm secure in Him. I've been sanctified. I'm going to tell you, that don't mean that I've arrived, but it does mean I've been set apart for Him. Amen. And I'm saved. The Bible says we're the redeemed, and let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm unashamed, but I'm also unhindered. I'm unhindered. Now, there's a lot of hindrances in the church today. A lot of people get hindered. A lot of people get caught up in hang-ups, and I want to get caught up in the one taking me up.
Amen.
Well, all right, let me tell you something. Let me go back for a second, because I got to thinking about something just then. You know, Jesus, it did just hit me. When He went down that road of suffering, the Via Dolorosa, He was not ashamed of the reason He suffered. Are y'all listening? Do I have your attention? There was a trail of blood all down that road, the Via Dolorosa. Unashamed that He was shedding His blood for you. He boldly... He didn't just die, and that's why we don't do a sprinkling in the church. We do immersion, because He didn't die sprinkled on death. He died a bold death. We are bold in the Baptist church. We dunk you. I mean, we go all the way with you. I mean, we carry you under there where you can't breathe. Symbolic of His death. You are identifying with the death of Jesus Christ. And then you're identifying with the resurrection when you come out of the water. Point I want to make, are y'all listening? Say amen.
Amen.
You're to be bold. He was bold for you. He was bold when He was being whipped. Hey, they didn't just take a little string and start hitting Jesus. No, they didn't take a little rope. No, they took a whip with a cat of nine tails, with metal and glass and nails, and they ripped His back off. He boldly suffered for you. Are y'all listening to me? His death was a vicarious death. He suffered. He bled on the cross. He didn't just hang there silently. No, He was suffocating. In order to get air to His lungs, He had to put pressure on the nails in His feet. So He was doing this all the time. He was coming up and He was going back down because He was suffering. He boldly died on that cross for you. Let's be unashamed because Jesus was bold for us. Let's be bold for Him. He was bold when He said, I love you. Then let's be bold in loving Him back. Jesus was bold in His love for us. We must be bold for Him, unashamed, and then we're to be unhindered. The Bible says we are a royal priesthood. What does that mean, preacher? I'm glad you asked that. I'm going to teach you something. God wanted His people Israel to be a kingdom of priests, according to Exodus 19:6. A spiritual influence, listen, for godliness. But Israel failed Him. Instead of being a positive influence on the godless nations around them, Israel imitated those nations and adopted their practices. God had to discipline His people many times for their adultery, but they still persisted in their sin. Today, Israel has not a temple or a priesthood. The church today is to God in the world what Israel was meant to be. Not to say in any way that God is through with Israel. He's not. But in Christ, I want you to get this today, we are a priesthood of believers. That meaning, and I want to give you the word Christ here. Hebrews 4:14-16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. I want you to hold fast to this priesthood of believers. Okay? For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The priesthood of the believer is that we are unhindered. We don't have to go through a pope, a priest, a pastor, or a preacher. The veil of the temple was rent in two, and now you and I can go directly into the presence of a holy God. We can go into the Holy of Holies in Jesus' name, I pray. I don't pray in Gord Springs' name. I don't pray in Ronnie Stewart's name, but I have the privilege and honor to come to God. I have the privilege to call upon His name. I have the privilege to worship Him, to be in His presence because of what He did for me. Oh, I'm going to be unhindered. Oh, there's a lot of things that are trying to hinder the work of God today, but you're not looking at one of them. Amen. Man, I want to be unhindered. I know some people say he's not a Baptist preacher. Well, I hate to tell you this. I'm not. I'm a Bible preacher. Amen. Okay? Oh, you went to a Baptist college. I'm a Bible preacher. Oh, you went to a Baptist seminary. I'm a Bible preacher. Amen. Friend, I'm going to tell you something. Your denomination won't get you to heaven, but Jesus will. Don't let the denomination hold you back. Hello? Are y'all following me? And don't let no backslidden church member hold you back. Well, that so-and-so, he don't never do nothing for God. Well, listen, you're not serving him. Amen. You're serving him. Amen. Don't let nothing hinder you. Don't quench, don't grieve the power that you need to live the Christian life. Our churches are becoming so worldly. We need not to be like the world to reach the world. Friend, we need to be separate. In Christ, it is important that we as God's priests maintain our separate identity, our position in order to reach this world. It's because of what Christ has done in us. We need to be a separated people, a people who have saved themselves for God's love and none others. We are married to Christ. He is the groom. We're the bride. We've saved ourselves for this marriage. We are virgins in that we have saved ourselves for the Lord Jesus Christ. We belong to Him. The world needs our influence and our witness. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. But with me, He said, but with me, all things are possible. In Christ, we are more than conquerors, Paul said in Romans. We are the unhindered priesthood of God. We can do more because Jesus said, I'm going to go to my Father and you will do greater things than I've done. John 14:12, verily, verily, I say unto you, that he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I'm going to go to my Father. I'm going to be interceding for you, church. Now you go and do the work that I've called you to do. Hello? Don't be hindered. Don't be caught up. You got Jesus on the right hand of the Father. He's praying and he's unhindered. And I don't think we ought to let anything hinder us. We are the unhindered priests identified in Christ. And then second of all, there's a covenant that Peter's talking about here. I'm going to tell you, this is two of the most comprehensive verses of Scripture, I believe, in the Bible, in that he brings the Old Testament and the New Testament together here. He's showing us here that our God is still a covenant God. God made a covenant with Abraham and the Israelites failed him. We have a New Testament covenant in the blood of Christ on Calvary. We are the priesthood of believers, and while there is no need to offer up sacrifices to God for our or anyone else's sin, we're being called out to follow through with what He's done in us. I'm going to tell you something. He's done a work in you. You are now a royal priesthood. That means you belong to the King. He's giving you His royal robes. Remember the prodigal son? The father said, put a robe on his back. Put shoes on his feet. Put a ring on his finger. Why? He's my son, and he's come back home. Let me tell you something. Our God keeps His word. Believers are called priests because salvation is not merely fire insurance just to escape you from hell. Rather, believers are called by God to serve Him by offering up spiritual sacrifices, it says here. Being a people, that means being a people of zealous works. As priests of the living God, we are all to give praise to the one who's given us the great gift of His Son's sacrifice on our behalf, and in response to share this wonderful wonderful grace with other people. In the Old Testament, the first thing the priest did was to bathe from head to toe. This symbolizes that he was saved, according to Titus 3:5. When we are saved, we are bathed from head to toe in Christ's cleansing blood. And then after his bath, the priest received a linen garment, which symbolized the righteousness that is provided by our Lord. We are clothed in his righteousness. Then he was anointed with oil, which is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. Folks, we have what we need to operate in God's covenant, the New Testament covenant that's in Christ and his blood that was shed. We are a priesthood. We are a royal priesthood. And then we are covered. I preached on this on Father's Day, but let me get into it. In Christ, we are covered in his own blood. The precious red ruby royal blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're covered in it. I mean, we're covered from head to toe. I said we're covered. Are y'all following me? We have been covered. I'm going to tell you, when God looks at you, he don't see your sin. He sees that you've been covered by the blood of Jesus. Hello? The blood has been placed on the doorpost of your life, and the death angel will pass over because you're covered in the blood. God's got you covered if you're saved today. We're covered through the supreme sacrifice of all sacrifices. We operate as a royal priesthood of believers. All believers are, in a secondary sense, what Christ was in a primary sense, the Lord's anointed. We are covered in his righteousness alone, in his supreme sacrifice alone. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. We are justified by faith. God sees me with no sin. God sees me as righteous. I've been declared not guilty before the courtroom of heaven, not because I've committed no offense, but because Jesus took my sin on himself and he declared me righteous. He declared me clean, holy before God in Christ alone. Bless God, I believe I'll have a spell this morning. Friend, I believe I'll just shout myself. If y'all want to sit there like a bunch of dead Baptists, go ahead. I'm going to have myself a good time today because I've been covered by the blood of Jesus. Amen. And going back to being ashamed. Why are we ashamed? Man, I'll tell you, the world is shamed because of their sin. We are the unashamed and the unhindered because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, preacher, you're the only one who gets excited around here. I can't help it. I got a case of can't help us. You say, oh, you're just wired wrong. No, I'm wired right. I think the world's wired wrong. Right. Folks, the world's messed up. I think the right way to be wired is to be covered in the blood of Jesus and then have yourself a good time. Talking about being covered. Hey, I'm not going to walk around. Listen to me. I'm not going to walk around with the shame of the world, of the sins of my past. Are y'all with me this morning? I mean, you want to stay down? You want to stay beat up? You want to stay discouraged all the time? You want to suffer depression? Then go ahead. I'm going to have a good time. Amen? Amen. I believe every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Woo! I do. Now, I just believe with all my heart, friend, that once you know who you are in Christ, you ought to get unhindered. I believe I'll just help myself, whether y'all like it or not. Okay, and we're undefiled. We're undefiled. He says in verse 9, we are a holy nation. Remember the other week, students, when I was talking about Graduate Sunday? I love what Daniel purposed in his heart, Daniel 1:8. It says that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. We have been called to holiness. I know some people hear me preach and they say, well, Preacher Ronnie, I really don't like your preaching because you preach about sin. Well, I'm not here to make you happy, but I am here to help you get holy. Amen. And what counts in God's eyes is holiness, not happiness. Right. And you know what the church wants today? Everybody wants this feel-good religion. Just a little dab-a-do-you. You know, just enough to get you by a few more days. We'll be back here Wednesday night. We'll give you another shot of the Holy Ghost. No, it's not the way it works. It's got to be an everyday walk. And it's all because of what Jesus. You know what I do every day? And I don't really care what you think. I don't about me. But every day I get along with God and ask him to forgive me and cleanse me of all of my sin. And every day, I believe I've been forgiven and cleansed of all my sin. You say, but Preacher Ronnie, you're not perfect. Oh, I know there's always someone out there to remind me of that. But I'm perfect in Jesus. Amen? Yeah. He is, I am complete in the Godhead bodily. He's everything I need. We are a holy nation. We are a holy people. Notice what he says in verse 10. The people of God. We are a people of his own special possession because he purchased us with his own blood. 1 Corinthians 6:12. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which is God's. 1 Peter 1:6. Be ye holy, for I am holy. The apostle thought here is that all members of the church of Christ have succeeded to that character and are sharers in that identity, in the priestly function, offering spiritual sacrifices because we are made holy in Jesus Christ. But then I got to give you the good stuff now. This is the juice. You want some juice? I'm ready to give you some juice. Not only are we holy people, we have a holy praise. And when I looked this up, I had a fit. I literally had a fit. You know, I've decided that I don't care what anybody thinks about me lifting my hands from now on. You know what? I'm not ashamed. And I'm going to tell you something why. Let me give you what the definition of the holy praise. I didn't know what praise he was talking about here. He's talking about the praises of him. Everybody say that with me. The praises of him. Now, there's a difference than the praises of him. This is important that you get this. The Greek meaning of the phrase here, the praise of him, means to praise him with excellence because he's excellent. We're talking about the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We've gathered here today to worship him. I'm afraid, church, we've focused too much on ourselves. It's got to be our style of worship, our style of preaching, our style of music. It's got to be everything a certain way. And guess where God is in all that? He's not here. No. If it's about you, Ichabod has been written on the door of the church. The presence of the Lord has left this place. I'm afraid in a lot of churches that's happened because we've made church all about us. What is holy praise? Well, holy praise is giving your very best in excellence. Don't throw together some music and think that's going to praise God. Are y'all listening to me? You know what God blesses? He blesses work, preparation. You know, you're here today to worship. You know what you're going to get out of this service? I'll go ahead and tell you what you're going to get out of it. Exactly what you've put in it. Amen. That's right. Because God honors. You know, when I was in college, kids, I had this little theme on my desk I kept in front of me all the time, and it worked. By the time I was finished in college, I'm not bragging, by the grace of God, I can say this. I had straight A's, and I'm going to tell you why I made straight A's. I had this little thing on my desk. There is no substitute for daily preparation. Every day I did a little something. I kept up with my studies. And let me tell you something. If you don't keep up with your walk with God, if you don't live a disciplined life, if you're not spending time in the Word of God daily, if you're not praying daily, I'm going to tell you, we can have no better worship here than you've had every day of the week. We're to be a holy people with a holy praise because we are of him. Did y'all see that? Did you see it? He says that ye should show forth the praises of him. The praise, because we are of him, we must learn to minister to God and he in turn will minister to us. Are y'all listening today? Minister to God, he'll minister to you. Holy praise is what pleases God. It releases faith. It assures hope. It increases love. It serves joyfully and it endures eternally. We should never feel ashamed to praise him. Not to praise him is pride. To wholly praise him is humility. When you truly praise him, you're praising God and whatever. It might be tears coming down your eyes. I was so impressed when I first came here that I saw some deacons walk out the door. And it really touched me, with glasses that had been stained with tears. That's worship. You know that? That's worship from the heart. That's not just going through the motions of church. I pray that every week. God, don't let us go through the motions. You say, well, preacher, I just don't feel like I need to raise my hand. Well, raise a foot. I mean, do something. I mean, don't just sit idly by. Amen? Just kick a pew, you know. Shake an usher's hand. Do something, because faith without works is what? Dead. I just believe we got a lot of dead churches because we're not participating. We're not involved. We come to church to be entertained today. We do. But there's only one audience That's Him. Amen. We're all the participators. Amen? I believe I'll preach today. All right, and then there's holy power. Holy power. Who have called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Here's the power of Christ. In this, the power of Christ I stand in. There is great power in the light. Power to overcome, power to withstand, power to break through, power to be forgiven, power to forgive. And the great power, going back to the priesthood of believer, is prayer. Much prayer is much power, little prayer is little power, no prayer is no power. Maybe that's why we don't have any power in our churches today. We're to be undefiled. We are to be a bride dressed in white, ready for their groom. Last thing, and I'm done. Man, I'm doing good today. Glory to God. I'm almost done. It's not, hey, I'll tell you the time. It's 8 to 12. This is a, look up here. This is a miracle day at Gord Springs. Amen. Unique. Unique. Hey, you got a unique preacher. He calls it, and I gave this word to it. And I was thankful. I asked Gordy this morning in my class. I said, Gordy, what do you think he meant by peculiar people? And I can't believe what Gordy said. Unique. Because the word peculiar is not what is really here. Peculiar to us means strange, weird, awkward. No, no, no. What he speaks of here, the word peculiar, the meaning of the word means that you are precious. You are His possession. You're not weird. You're not odd. You're not strange. The best word is unique, I think, for us to understand it. I looked it up, and I love this, Gordy, in the Webster's Dictionary. He defines unique as belonging to or connected with only one particular thing, place, or person. Well, that person's Jesus. Amen? And so I'm unique. You're unique. And here's our uniqueness. Number one, we're unique in our union. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of Man who loved me and gave Himself for me. In Christ alone, we are the recipients of the grace and mercy of God. Were it not for His mercy, we would be lost and on our way to an eternal place of judgment. We are God's chosen people only because of His mercy, and that mercy behooves us to be in faithful union to Him and with one another. God is a jealous God. He always wanted a people to Himself. He's calling you Gentiles out. Hey, the Jews, they let Him down, but God's calling you out. God wants you to be a people unto Himself, a peculiar people, unique in our union with Christ. He has always wanted a people like that, not because we have to come to Christ, but because we want to. Sin broke the special union between God and man. There was enmity. But Jesus came and He fixed the brokenness. He restored the brokenness. Unique in union. Our union is in Christ. And I can't emphasize that enough. Your identity must be in Christ and in Christ alone. Don't worry about what church you're a member of. Don't worry about who your friends are. Don't worry about who your family are. Just make sure you're in Christ. Amen? Because the only thing that's going to matter when you stand before a holy God is if you're in Christ. If you were to die today and you were standing before a holy God and He would, if He was to ask you, why should I allow you into my heaven? There's only one answer. Jesus Christ, I have received your Son as my Savior. Little boy wanted to go speak to the king back in the day, and he wanted to go into the palace. And he got to the front door, and the guard said, you're not allowed here. You're not allowed here. They threw him away. He said, go on, get out of here, you little brat. He came back again. But I need to see the king. He said, I'm sorry, son, but you are not allowed to see the king. You need to get all this property. You're not allowed here. You're nothing. He went away. He was there on the sidewalk off from the palace crying. And this other young boy came up to him and said, what are you crying about? He said, I just want to go see the king. He said, well, come with me. Well, this time when they went to the gate, the guard stood at attention and saluted. They walked right down. Slapped down through the palace. I mean, right into the room where the king was sitting. And the young boy said, well, who are you? He said, well, I'm the king's son. And the father said to his son, anything for you, son, I'll give it to you. Anything. That's what, listen to me, it does to you in Christ. Because when Jesus sees, when God sees Jesus in you, God thinks this way, anything for you, my son, anything for you. I saved Ronnie Stewart. I saved so-and-so. Hey, Jesus saves. Are y'all following me? And so the key is this. God looks at it and says, anything for you, son. Because Jesus is his son, right? And Jesus is the Son of God who died for us. I thought I'd throw that in there. Unique in our union. Unique in our unity. Now, this is important for the church because the devil's trying to break our unity. I mean, throughout. I'm talking about throughout the world. You know, I had the privilege when I graduated from Campbell to do an exchange program at South Wales Baptist Seminary. And one thing that blew my mind in Wales, England, was the number of people I felt like I've always had known them. You know why? I never met them. You know why? They were brothers and sisters in Christ. Isn't that strange? I mean, you can meet people you never met, and yet you felt unity. I may be peculiar, and you may be peculiar, but we're all peculiar together. We are united in our peculiarity. Amen? The Greek word here, we are his purchased possession, a unique possession, a sum of rare beauty and of priceless nature. This uniqueness allows unity in the body of Christ. What brings us all together here today in our uniqueness and our peculiarity is that we're all in Christ. I don't know why you came here. I know why I came here, because I love Jesus. How about you? Amen? We're here today because of Jesus Christ. We are called brothers and sisters. We may be brothers from another mother, but we're all brothers in Christ. Amen? You may be sisters from another mother, but you're all sisters in Christ. Brothers and sisters, we are the family of God. We are unique in that by the perfect plan of God, we are in the same family. We are living in enemy territory today, and the enemy is constantly watching, looking for every opportunity to move in and to take over. As citizens of heaven, we must, church, be unified. We must present to the world a unified demonstration of what the grace and the mercy of God looks like and what he can do through people united. I think Augustine had it right, and I quote him when he said this, in essentials, unity, in non-essentials, liberty, and in all things, love. Amen. I said in all things love. Man, people fall out on the least thing. I've been in church all my life. I'm amazed as a pastor. Well, the preacher didn't shake my hand. I'm not going back. Well, he didn't even look at me. You know, he called so-and-so's name. He didn't call my name. Don't you worry about whether I call your name or not. You worry about whether he calls your name, whether he knows your name. I'm not going to get you into heaven. He will. But I'm going to tell you this, church. Now, y'all listen to this, and I say it in love. How we treat each other down here has a lot to do whether we go up there. Amen. Because he said this, they will know how you of me, how you love one another. And I think Paul had it right in 1 Corinthians 13. He says, and without love, talking about the church, you're nothing.
That's right.
You make a bunch of noise, you church people. You fuss and fight, and you don't get along. And Jesus says, you know what? I'm not in that. You know, the first thing I look for as a pastor with people, this is how I judge people. I do. Bible says you can know them by their fruit. Love. Yeah, I do. If I see the love of God in them and I see them working in humility and they're not working in pride and a church working together, I'll tell you, that's a testimony of what God has done in that fellowship. But when a church can't work together, I'll tell you, it's a testimony of what the devil can do in a church. Friend, unity is important in the eyes of Christ. We are his possession. We are special to him. We need to start living and acting like it. Amen? Amen. Friend, we are children of the King. We are to act like it. Amen? We're to love one another. Well, I don't like you, preacher. Well, that's okay. You don't have to like me, but you have to love me. By the way, let me give you something to smile about. If you don't like me down here, you're just going to love me in heaven. Amen? I mean, you're going to say, well, there he is. There's that loudmouth preacher over there. I bet he's still trying to preach, and there's no need for preaching in heaven. Let me tell you something, folks. I'm only preaching today because this is the truth. And I'm here to help you. And someone who loves you will tell you the truth. Last thing, and I'm done. We're unique in our unction. I love this word. I use it often. It's a biblical word, 1 John 2:20. But ye have an unction from the Holy One. And ye know all things because ye are recipients of the mercy and grace of God. God's given us a powerful gift called the Holy Spirit. By the way, he's here today.
Amen.
I've already failed him. You know, there's something powerful. I mean, you're talking about when you start praising God, the Holy Spirit loves that. You know, I've been teaching this. The angels in heaven, all they do 24/7, all the time, they praise God. And when you start praising God, you start ministering to God in praise. God starts ministering to you. Now he starts ministering to you. He starts sending his angels right here. You know, some of you think I'm preaching to some empty pews up here. I don't see an empty pew up here. I see them full of angels. Because the angels of the Lord encamp about them that fear him. You say, preacher, you don't see no angels in this place. That's another subject. But they're here. And I'm not scared of them. And I'm not ashamed that I believe in angels. And I'm not ashamed that I believe in a Savior. Because I'm going to tell you, I believe this. Now, whether you believe it or not, it's up to you. But what he says here, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Listen to me carefully. I'm about done here. The Holy Spirit will reveal things to you that no one else can reveal.
That's right.
You know, that's the thing that I see missing in our pulpits today and in our churches. This is a big deal to me. This is a pet peeve of mine. We went to the Southern Baptist Convention in Phoenix, Arizona. And thank you again. I thanked you last Sunday. I heard some very intellectual preaching. They went with all young preachers this year. But personally for me, the unction was missing. And I'm going to tell you why. We've got smarter than God. And what I mean by that is that we think we can explain God and we can explain his word. Let me tell you something, friend. Only the Holy Spirit interprets truth. Now, I'm not kicking education. I spent a lot of years and a lot of money getting an education. And I'm going to say it again. God honors preparation. But at the same time, without the anointing of his Holy Spirit, we can't accomplish this work. This is not a work that can be done in flesh. It must be done in spirit. The Bible says we're to worship him and in spirit and in truth. He works most powerfully when God's people are in one accord. In the upper room, God's people were in one accord and the Holy Spirit sat down in the midst of them. When we are not quenching or grieving God, in our uniqueness, he works in ways we cannot see, but we know the difference of when he's here and when he's not here. Hello? You know what I'm talking about? I can't explain that, but I'll tell you what, I know the difference. And that's why I want to preach this, and I want to remind myself, without the anointing of the Holy Spirit, I can't stand here. Because in my flesh, friend, I am weak and undone, and I don't deserve to stand here today. But by the mercy, and the grace of God, I believe that through his blood that covers me, I am cleansed of him. And I believe with all my heart that I am under his unction because I know Ronnie Stewart best. Without him, I'm sunk. I don't have nothing to stand on. I need the Holy Spirit's power. You say, you sound like a Pentecostal. I'm a Babelcostal. I believe in the power and the work of the Holy Spirit. I really do. Amen. Jesus said, I'm going to leave you a comforter. He's going to give you comfort. Amen. He's going to guide you. He's going to teach you all truth. He says in John 14:16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, because he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. So how do you identify in Christ? The Holy Spirit. Y'all following me? We're going to give the invitation. And I want us to do something different today. Can we do something a little different? At this invitation, could we be in a spirit of prayer that if there's a person here today, they may be a church member, they may have been baptized, they may be a good person. But the thing I want every person right now to examine, are you in Christ? And if there's one thing I want you to take away from this today, and that is this. It's all in Christ. Nothing else. Don't add anything to it. I don't have time to preach another sermon. But folks, it's not your works. It's not your goodness. It's not your membership. It's not your baptism. It's in Christ alone. We're going to sing that song right now. And as we sing this song, can we give God worship? with excellence. That means give it your very best. Let's all stand. And if you don't know Jesus today, I can't think of a better day to get saved than to say, I want to identify with Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed to give an invitation. Amen. Church, look up here. Let's don't let anything hinder us right now. I'm going to ask that no one be moving around. Let's just let the Holy Spirit do His work. You know, sometimes at the invitation, people get up and walk out. That's the worst time. I'm going to tell you why. God may be dealing with somebody. You know, right now, let's just hold on and let this invitation go unhindered. What happens when God's people begin to praise Him with excellence? The Holy Spirit begins to flow through these pews. And if someone don't know Jesus, He knocks on the door of their heart. It ain't got nothing to do. Are y'all listening? It ain't got nothing to do with the preaching. It's whether we are channels of the Holy Spirit. It ain't got nothing to do with the preaching. Are we going to identify with Christ right now? The only way you're going to do it is to be filled with this Holy Spirit. Father, may the unction of your Spirit be with us today that will give you the excellence in our praises to Him. In Jesus' name, amen.